Chapter 5, Gold and Gambling. To continue on the road, they had to cross the wide, swiftly flowing river, and the only way across it was a ferry. A middle-aged man stood on the dock, looking bored. He perked up slightly as the group approached, trying to look cheerful.
"Greetings, travelers," he said. "If you would like passage across the river, it will be 15 silver per person."
"That's robbery," Damien exclaimed. "For that price, we should just swim across."
"I wouldn't do that, friend," the ferryman warned. "This river flows from the mountains, so it's usually quite cold. And now, as winter approaches, it is extremely so. Even if you paid the toughest man in Fathalus 20 gold pieces, he would still refuse to jump in."
"I'll do it," Beodin muttered.
Vala dipped her fingers in the fast-flowing water. It was extremely cold, and she could tell that anyone who tried to cross would probably drown, either because of the strength of the rapids or the low temperature causing their body to simply shut down.
"Is there any way we could convince you to lower the price?" Talmer asked, ignoring the dwarf.
"Sorry, friend, I'm afraid not," the ferryman answered. "Consider yourself lucky. I could be asking more, and folks would still pay."
The group began scraping together their remaining coin, but it was nowhere near enough. The kids had taken all but 3 gold pieces, 20 silver, and a handful of copper. Beodin muttered a curse as they turned back to the town.
"Great! Now what?"
"Well, there's always the tavern," Damien suggested.
"What? You want to go drink and not deal with this?"
"That is one option," the bard admitted. "But I was thinking more along the lines of we go see if we can get paid for something. And maybe we get a drink or two."
"Hey, none of that. We've got a kid with us," Kayla said, motioning at Varun.
"I'm not a kid," the Thrakai argued.
"Yes, you are. And you're a good enough excuse to keep those two from getting drunk midday. Specifically, Beodin. Damien will be fine. He knows his limits."
"Hey!"
The human and the dwarf snapped at the same second. Caleb laughed.
"Come on."
They found the tavern Damien had mentioned, which was occupied even during the day. It wasn't a very big space, but a few people were sitting at the bar and a few more were lounging around the various tables. A group of bards had set up a makeshift stage in front of the fireplace and was playing quietly. Vala tried to pick a few pockets, letting the music cover any noise she might have made, but luck was not with her. Thankfully, she didn't get caught, but she only found a handful of copper pieces, a few silvers, and a small knife, which she decided to leave with its owner. Mildly annoyed, she decided to try her luck with something else she could control, like a game of cards or dice. She saw a table of 6 people playing cards and wandered over, watching closely. After a few moments, she realized they were playing Chance's Favor. It wasn't too difficult a game, one she had played before, and there was a decent pile of coin for the winner. The rules were pretty straightforward, but a bit of luck was required to win. Each player got 6 cards and got to choose 2 to put into a discard pile. Each card remaining in the hand was worth a certain number of points depending on its number. An ace was worth 1 point, a 5 was worth 5, and so on. Face cards were worth 10 points. Pairs added an extra 2 points to the total. 3 of a kind added 6, and 4 added 8, assuming one could convince the other players that they actually drew 4 of a kind. A run of 3 added 3, and a run of 4 added 4. Having a flush, meaning that all 4 cards in one's hand were the same suit, added 4 points. Once everyone had 4 cards, they had the option to switch one of their remaining cards with one randomly selected from the discard pile. Once the cards were chosen, each player displayed them to the rest of the table, set them down next to them, and got 6 more. The first person to reach 100 points without going over won. At any time, one could hold and not draw any more cards, but if someone got a higher total than you, you were out. Once everyone playing had either gotten out or held, the game ended and the winner was allowed to collect the pot. Vala could see that the group she was watching was using multiple decks. Realizing she would need money to join, she started looking for one of her companions. Varun, the easiest of her companions to find, was talking to a man who appeared to be a local blacksmith.
He was a half-orc, tall and extremely muscular. Vala hadn't heard the conversation, but she was fairly sure they'd agree to something. The half-orc tossed a few coins on the table with a grin, and Varun added a couple more. Realizing something was going on, many of the nearby patrons turned to watch, some of them probably hoping for a fight. The half-orc grinned, resting his arm on the table and offering Varun his hand. The Thrakai took it, an excited spark in his golden eyes.
"Ready!"
someone yelled.
"Go!"
The pair struggled against each other, heavily armored Thrakai versus leather-clad half-orc. The contest was close, with both competitors nearly winning several times each, but Varun managed to slam his opponent's arm onto the table after about 20 seconds. The half-orc looked startled, but then laughed, shoving the small pile of coins toward the Thrakai.
"Well done, my friend,"
he said, clapping the Thrakai on the shoulder.
"It's been too long since I've had a worthy opponent."
"Well done," Varun echoed, smiling but a little surprised at the reaction. He was likely expecting anger from the half-orc.
"Hi, need this?" Vala broke in, snatching the coins from the table. "I'll give it back later."
Surprisingly, Varun didn't protest, and she made her way back to the gaming table. As she pushed her way through the crowd, she caught sight of Damien unsuccessfully trying to woo one of the other patrons, who was doing her best to ignore him. The human had his lute in his hands and was singing for an attractive young woman, who looked both slightly interested and a bit repulsed by Damien's attempt. "Hey, stranger," one of the card players greeted as Vala approached. "Care to join?"
"You wouldn't mind?" she asked.
"Not at all. We're just about to start a new round." The speaker passed a handful of cards to Vala. "Let's start the pot at 2 silver. A chorus of agreement answered him, and Vala tossed 2 silver pieces onto the table. The cards were dealt, and Vala looked at what she'd been given. It was a good hand, an ace of spades, a 2 of diamonds, a 6 of clubs, a 7 of spades, an 8 of hearts, and the queen of diamonds. She slid the ace and the 2 into the discard pile and waited for everyone else to finish choosing their cards. 2 people decided to switch cards, grabbing from the discard pile and looking disgruntled at what they got. 28 total, the dealer announced, laying his cards face up on the table.
26,
grumbled another, dropping his hand.
"I got 31,
someone called, displaying his cards.
34,
Vala said triumphantly. The others all called out their totals and the next hand was dealt. The round continued for about 10 minutes, and the scores were close, but Vala had won by 3 points. The pot was only 14 silver, but it was enough to keep her in the game for a while. They played several more rounds, and Vala could see she was on a losing streak.
"I'll deal,"
she offered.
Sure.
The dealer passed the deck to her.
6 cards each.
She dealt the cards, carefully tucking a few into her sleeve when no one was watching.
"How much should we do this time?" she asked. 5 silver each?
"Go big or go home," one of the players asked. "I'm in. Know what? I'm feeling lucky, so if we're going to go big, why not make it 10?
The rest of the group agreed, some more reluctantly than others, and soon there was a large pile of gold, silver, and copper on the table. The game began, and having no problem with cheating, Vala used a few of her hidden cards, easily getting the biggest win of the game. Some of the other players gave her suspicious glances, but no one spoke up. She passed the deck to the player sitting next to her and got up, pocketing the coins. She handed most of it to Varun, but kept a bit for herself. They rounded up the rest of the group, who hadn't found much to do, and started back to the ferry. The ferryman looked surprised that they had returned so soon, but he accepted the 96 silver they offered. The river was flowing quickly, and the ferry lurched multiple times as they crossed, but they made the trip across safely. They didn't stay on the road long, and Vala still thought she felt someone watching her, but that sensation faded soon after they got beyond the tree line. They walked for about 10 miles through the dense forest, avoiding patches of thick undergrowth. It was cooler under the trees, but not so cold as to be uncomfortable. The group didn't talk much during the hike, and the silence felt slightly oppressive at first. A few small animals skittered through the trees, and Vala noticed a handful of birds, although most had flown to their winter roosts. After a little while, the quiet changed, becoming less oppressive and almost peaceful. They'd gotten to a part of the forest where the trees were thinner, and the sun was directly above them by the time they called a halt. Talmer had found another clearing to camp in. It was smaller than the last one they had spent the night in, only about 15 feet from one side to the other, but it was enough. A huge oak tree with wide-spreading branches shielded the clearing from rain, and a small stream snaked through the trees, far enough away to be out of sight, but close enough to be heard burbling as it flowed. After a quick discussion, the group decided to split up. They had gotten close to their destination, but they weren't going to need the whole group to gather information about the people they needed to investigate. Damien started gathering rocks to make a fire ring while Caelith and Baodin searched for fallen wood. Vala dropped her pack by the base of the tree, knowing it would just get in her way if she tried to bring it. Leaving the others to finish setting up, she, Varun, and Talmer headed towards where the hideout was supposed to be, trying to move quietly. Only Vala was supposed to go in. The other two were just there to make sure she got to the hideout safely. The bag was yanked off his head, and he was pushed into another room. They still held his arms, but at least he could see now. Someone stepped in front of him. It was a woman, wearing black with a black hood and red mask covering everything but her eyes, which were yellow and feline. In her gloved hands, she held a black wire choker with a gleaming ruby set in a strange symbol. The ruby was set in a diamond shape made of black wire, which was inside a ring of the same material. As she stepped towards him, he tried futilely to break free, but the pair holding his arms didn't let go. She clipped the necklace around his neck, and for a moment, his whole world went dark. His head spun, and he thought he might throw up for a second. It was only a second, but as his head cleared, he felt strange, although he couldn't understand why. The woman's eyes narrowed in what he hoped was a smile. She stepped back and pulled off her mask and hood, revealing gray tabby fur, a feline face, and pointed feline ears.
"Let him go," her voice was a soft purr. "He won't try anything."
They released him, and he stood facing her. He wanted to run, but his feet didn't move. She laughed, seeing his confusion.
"It's all in your head," she said. "You can think about running all you want, but you're not going to. You'll be safe here. We're your family here."
She started for the door, and a thought crossed his mind. These people were his family. He was safe. He was alive. There was no reason to disbelieve or disobey them. He was shocked at the thought, but it felt oddly natural. Oddly right.
"You'll find fresh clothes on the bed," she said, glancing back at him. "Get changed. I'll be back for you later."
She left, locking the door with a loud click. He was trapped. He was alone. No help would be coming. But strangely, he didn't feel like he needed it anymore.